You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Aloha, nerd asses. This is the 3 a.m. podcast. My name is DJ.
My name is Sean.
It's just us two tonight. We kicked Charles out.
Yeah, he's not part of the podcast.
He got
anymore.
Deported. Yeah, man. It's another crazy week where we've experienced some growth, which is very interesting because we still don't know what the hell we're doing. It's just rolling with the punches.
It's growth.
Felt like for 3 years straight.
That's true. That's true.
But today, Tuesday, the 15th?
Yep.
The 15th of March, we got an invitation from both YouTube and Twitch today, both of them, to become affiliates, which opens up a lot of doors for both us as creators and you as the viewers. We don't know everything that like the entire ramifications of each of those things, but we are we're stoked nonetheless.
Let's go.
So we want to constantly be in a space where we're delivering something fresh that you like.
Anyway. You may not like it too, but you're getting it anyways.
Yeah. But that's super exciting news for us. We've been trying to become Twitch affiliates and I don't know what you call it with YouTube partners with YouTube.
That sounds right.
namely monetization is a huge one.
Yeah.
More streams of income for us to put right back into the podcast. We can deliver better content to better community. Especially in streaming, there's a heavy like streaming culture, whether it comes from emotes or subscriptions or hype trains. And that might sound like a foreign language if you're not a part of that community, which is fine. But the people who are into that will now have that.
Yeah.
So we're stoked for us and for the viewers. I think that might be it by way of housekeeping.
Housekeeping, yeah. Both on the same day today?
Both on the same day.
Oof.
Crazy how it all came together like that.
That is kind of random, dude.
Another piece of housekeeping is Elon Musk and Grimes, pop singer, star, producer, musician, and tech god, spaceman, and car builder,
etc.
Electrician had their second child.
Uh-oh. What did he name this one?
So you remember their first child then?
I don't remember the name. It was something with a dash in it, I swear, dude.
With some crazy like Greek alphabet letters and
something like
there was
that.
Like a number 12 in the name. Like
I think
the digits
so, dude.
Itself.
It was not a name.
It's like the AE letter.
It's
X
a VIN number, 12. Bro.
Yeah, it is a VIN number. Dog, it's like their first child. The name was, they created the name off of like Elon Musk's favorite jet.
Okay.
And Grimes's like favorite letter or something like that.
Damn. That imagine
number.
If you're like that level of rich where it's like you have a favorite jet. Bro, I just have like a favorite pair of socks, dude.
Honestly, rich people should. One day we'll be there, my guy.
Let's go.
One day we'll have our favorite jet.
Favorite jet. It might be like a, like I don't know, a toy jet, but you know, we'll make it.
But they had their second child.
What did they name it?
Let me pull up the article because the shorthand version of their child's name.
There's a longhand version?
Okay. The title, this is from Vanity Fair. The title is Grimes Reveals Why Her New Baby Daughter with Elon Musk. The letter Y.
That's it?
Okay. So, okay. I found it. The first child, a boy born in 2020, is named XAE, like that. Okay. That letter where it's like and an E together. XAEA12. And they call him XAI Archangel, or X for short. So that's why they came up with a name where it's just Y.
X and Y.
The letter Y. I'm trying to find the actual name, but I can't.
What is this? Remake of Triple X with Vin Diesel?
Dude, they're just naming their children like Pokemon at this point.
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah, gotta catch every Grimes and Elon Musk child. Why they be like that?
I don't know. I wonder if like these kids are gonna suffer any ramifications. I mean, they're gonna grow up rich, so they really aren't gonna be suffering. But
not like we suffer.
Yeah, dude. Not like we suffer.
Not like
dude.
The layman. Yeah, man. It feels like we only hear about like the craziest stuff, but I think of like Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin's child, Apple.
Apple.
Yeah, they named her Apple. She's like a teenager now. I wonder if she gets bullied for it. What kind of insults would you come up for the name Apple?
I am not in elementary school, so I don't have the prime insults. Like, that's where all of the good ones come from. Dude, I don't even know, bro. This turns out I'm actually not as mean as I say I am because I have no insults.
Okay, all the weird celebrity names I can think of. Kanye and the Kardashians, they have weird names.
Yeah.
North and North. Saint.
Yep. Do they have any other ones?
Even Kylie Jenner with Travis Scott have Stormy.
Stormy. I've met some Stormies before, though.
Beyonce and... Really?
Yeah.
Stormy Daniels?
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels is I think she's a porn star who allegedly slept with like Donald Trump.
Oh shit, dude.
Yeah, and like made like national headlines or something like that. I could be completely wrong, and I probably am. Who else, man? I think of Blue Ivy. Okay. Do you know who that is?
The name sounds familiar, but
it's Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah, that's right.
Bro.
People be naming their kids weird, like numbers now, dude. Like 11, obviously off of Stranger Things. Dude, somebody named 12. They're like, but why?
Or even from TV shows, people be naming like Khaleesi from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah.
And then surprise, she's a murderer in the final season.
How bad is that,
Quick name change.
You
decimated an entire kingdom.
You like start out as like a hero and you name your kid that, and then all of a sudden this person turns out to be the worst.
Big suck.
And that's your name now. You're stuck with it.
Bro, why are Mexicans the only ones who name their children Jesus? is that not directly Jesus?
That's a great question. I'm gonna have to do some research because I have no idea.
That's bold, bro. Like, we have Peter, we have James, John, all these other biblical names, Noah, but straight up God's name, Jesus.
Bro, I also know some people name their, like, kids after, like Norwegian gods, like Thor, Odin. That's kind of dope, though. Like, I'd name a kid
Odin. The thing is, those gods aren't real. Jesus. Bro. Jesus is the real one, the real true one.
Bro, I've seen every Marvel film, and I can tell you they're real.
Nah, dog. Names be like the Spanish Inquisition, just like we're naming our children Jesus, Jesus. Wow. You ever think of baby names?
Baby names?
Yeah, you have a list of baby names going?
Dude, I used to, and then I realized that I was a lost cause.
You're dumb. I hate you. That's not true. Stop self-deprecation.
I can't help it.
What are the names on your list?
Oh, shit. I don't have the list anymore. Like I said, I used to.
You
like,
deleted I actually the list? Used to. Like what? Like notes on your phone? Or in your journal or something? Like a post-it note?
It wasn't ever. I think it was like notes on my phone. Huh. But legitimately, I do not have it anymore. Huh. Maybe. Let me check, dude. There's no way I still have this. Zero chance.
I think, do you know Frank Zappa?
Yeah.
Frank Zappa's child's name is like Moon Unit.
Oh, or something like that. Absolute unit, absolute dude.
Moon Unit. It's just like a fat ass white chick.
Okay, negative. I do not have that list anymore.
That's fine.
What about you, dude?
Dude, for a long time, if I ever had a child, I wanted to name it if there was a boy, West.
West
after Kanye.
Damn, bro. Okay,
not only after Kanye, but after the West Coast.
Okay.
And
the opposite of East.
Sunsets.
Okay, I see you. Dude.
That's the three different.
Okay.
Deadass, I've entertained that idea for a long time.
Just West.
So, it's just West.
All first right. name
West. West Coast because that's where I'm from. And
yeah, but you're from the east coast of Hawaii. Dude.
Truth. No, I'm from the southwest. Do you remember that?
Oh shit, that's right.
Southwest United States, the real southwest. I'm right, I'm in the ranks of celebrities. It's really just me manifesting.
That's manifesting. Where it starts, dude.
Yeah.
Like manifesting is a real thing, I'm gonna tell you. Cause like not even a couple weeks ago. We were talking about manifesting.
Yeah.
And then I open my phone. I go to like Bleacher Report because I'm into sports. And my favorite soccer team is playing, Liverpool.
Oh.
And they're playing kind of a.
My boy Jurgen Klopp.
Let's go.
See, I know a little bit about the sports.
They're losing though.
Oh, shit.
1-0. 1-0, if you will.
At the time that you open your phone.
At the time that I open my phone. And I'm like, nah, these boys going to win. They're going to win. And then. Not 10 minutes later, they go for the equalizer. And then right after that, they score again, dude. And I was like, hell yeah, dude. I just manifested this victory right now.
Hell yeah, dog. Put it out there in the universe and it'll come back to you. So I give my kid a shitty ass name and I'm going to be famous, going to the Met Gala next year.
If that's what it takes, dude.
That's exactly how it's going to pan out.
All right.
So I see it. I mean, it's already falling into place. We got personal invites from Twitch and YouTube to be
that's true. To be affiliates. Dude. We might make it to the Streamer Con next year or Streamer Awards.
Me and my boy Ninja, and I don't even know who the hell streams.
I was just watching it with Charlie the other day. Okay, when I say watching it, I mean I was getting updates as he was watching it.
Oh yeah,
and he was mostly watching it for Pay Money Wubby, so he could add like the. Pay Money Sevens in the chat so that they all knew he was there.
Recently, we joked about reviewing film. Just like after a game, and as you go into practice the next week for the next game, you review tape and see how you did from the previous game and see what you can improve on and work on that week.
Yeah.
So We've entertained the idea of reviewing tape when it comes to 3 a.m.
Dude, I used to listen to the episodes just to be like, okay, how terrible of a story was that? And how could you tell it better?
Yeah. See, the thing is now I know immediately. I say something, I'm like, oh, that was the shitty joke terrible story. Away. That was not good at all. So I don't even need to review stuff anymore.
Yeah, dude.
How you feeling?
Pretty solid, dude.
Feeling better.
The caffeine's kicking in. This Rockstar Unplugged, which, by the way, I'm shouting out. It's a new flavor. It's a passion fruit, dude. Solid.
Hell yeah, boy. Let's take it and use it and roll.
Let's go.
Wow, my own die for once. We roll a 20-sided die to see who goes first. Highest number goes first.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. I have benefited from therapy in a way that it's allowed me to feel a lot more lightness in my heart, my head, my emotions. If that's something that you are needing, if that's something that's missing, give therapy a try. Give BetterHelp a try. We want to hook you up by getting it off your chest and it be a little lighter on the wallet. Go ahead and visit betterhelp.com/3am and you can get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/3am.
Hi, I'm Sean McCabe.
And I'm Carrie McCabe.
We are, well, married, obviously, but we're also obsessed with the darker side of things.
True crime stories, alien abductions, poltergeists. If it leaves you scratching your head and keeping those lights on at night, we want to hear about it.
That's why we host the podcast, Ain't It Scary, with Sean and Carrie.
Every week, we bring our listeners a true story guaranteed to send chills down your spine. From history's most brutal serial killers to the mystery of spontaneous human combustion.
Yep, lots of these stories leave unanswered questions behind, and you'll get to poke through the rubble of the evidence with a hardened skeptic and...
someone whose mind is more open to fun.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
You can find Ain't It Scary with Sean and Carrie wherever you get your podcasts. And on social media at Ain't It Scary. Come play with us.
What's it say, my boy?
I got a 13. Deed, you got a 3.
Okay. So we're doing Sean and then me tonight.
All right, guys. I got a good story for us today.
It's it better be.
Submitted by a listener. And this listener wanted to remain anonymous. So they did not submit their name with this story. After reading the story, I was like, you know, there might be a couple reasons why I would want to remain anonymous. And you might come up with some of those reasons yourself as I tell the story.
Okay, so we have a murderer listener, right? That's what it is.
Their kind of intro to this story is, we talk about that gut feeling that you get. But y'all have never told a story about what was on the other end of that gut feeling, like what could have happened. That's kind of how he intros it. Or her. I don't know, dude.
Like they didn't listen to the gut feeling and
something
now they
bad
regret
happened
it.
To them. Okay. So whoever this is works in water testing. And in water testing, basically they'll go and test like the pH balances and like streams and rivers downstream of like construction sites and stuff like that to make sure that wetlands, protected ones specifically, aren't being harmed by whatever's going on upstream.
Like South Dakota or whatever, pipeline.
Yeah, kind of like that. Anyways, so that's their main job. They're also an avid three-gun competitor shooter. Three-gun competition shooter. And the basics of that is it's a timed trial of you running around and engaging various targets with a pistol, shotgun, and AR-15, trying to beat everyone else's time. This is going to be important in a minute.
Yeah.
So this alleged event, their words, not mine, this alleged event happened in September. Whether that's this last September or another one, I don't know.
Okay.
Anyways, they're going out to this river to test the pH balance.
They don't say where they are?
They don't say where they are.
Okay.
Anyways, they're going to test the pH balance in this river. The closest they can get to the river is this dog park. So they park their truck or whatever they're driving next to the woods and then hike out into the woods towards this river. It's a 10-15 minute walk from where they parked out to the river. They basically do their job and then come back. And as they're coming back, he or she starts hearing yelling, shouting threats, and a crying baby. So they kind of like speed up a little bit as they're headed back to this parking lot. And okay, this is right. It is a guy. He says, I'm not a huge guy, 6'1", 210. But as he approaches the parking lot, no one notices his presence or anything like that. But what he sees is this 5 foot tall lady holding a baby running into the dog park where there's another random guy with his dog. And she's basically yelling for help to this guy. And then behind her, there's a man following her. And this guy is giant. He said he's about 6'10", looks like he's 400 pounds. And he is yelling at this lady that he is going to kill her and take the baby.
I knew it, dude. Somebody about to get capped.
So the dude who's just chilling in the dog park, who also he described as kind of a skinny, smaller dude with his dog, is the MVP. He's like, yeah, I'll stay with the lady. He walks her back to the parking lot as this big dude is just kind of like lurking on the outskirts, like not doing anything because someone else is around. So they both get to the parking lot, the other smaller guy and this lady with her baby. And then the guy with his dog realizes that he left his keys on the bench in the dog park. So he has to go back. And the lady is now standing right next to, I think, this other guy's car in the parking lot. And there is kind of a mock drawing that I'll show you here in a minute as well, just where everyone was locationally.
So she's safe now, safe. For now.
For now.
Yeah.
Now, as she's standing there and the other guy is going back down into the dog park to grab his keys, the big dude comes around the dog park and is like coming towards the lady, still shouting threats at her. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to throw your baby. Like the guy says, like, anyone who shouts, I'm going to throw your baby, probably means it. Like, I don't know what he's going to do, but
nothing solves problems like throwing babies.
You know? Nothing solves problems like that. So the big dude is coming up on this lady. Our friend, listener who submitted the story, is still unnoticed. Now, he had backed up to the forest before he left to go out to the river, and so he's up at the back of his truck. He slowly opens the back of his truck and unlocks his gun safe in the back of his truck.
Hell yeah, boy.
So he's about ready to save the day.
Yes, protect our women's.
Let's go. And with this, he's also thinking, what am I going to do? Like, am I really going to shoot this guy? Like, there's no need, but I also need to protect this woman with her baby. And he said he's also like running the math in his mind. There's no way any physical altercation between him and this dude is going to end well for him, because he's 6'1", 210 versus 6'10", 400 probably.
That's why he's got to load up.
He does. So, still unnoticed, he takes his gun out and he aims it at this dude. And he doesn't shoot. He's just kind of watching him. And he decides in his mind that he kind of mentally creates this 10-foot circle around this lady in his mind. And he says, and like in his mind, if the dude crosses this line, I'll have to shoot him. The big dude comes up to the lady and stops right at the line. And he starts pacing back and forth right at this line, not crossing it. And he's still, our listener's still aiming the gun. And apparently the other dog guy down in the dog park had called 911. Police sirens are now showing up. A breath of fresh air for our friend here. He doesn't have to do anything. But the big dude never crossed the line. They come and arrest the guy. They're taking statements from the lady. And the whole time, he locks his gun back up in the safe. He's good to go. But this entire time, he's wondering, like, if that guy had got that gut feeling to not cross that line that he started pacing back and forth at. And this is where this idea was like, What if he had the gut feeling not to cross the line? Otherwise, he would have died. And the same goes for us when we get our gut feelings if we follow them. We never know what would have happened.
Bro, he never talked to this dude?
Never talked to him.
He never like stopped the police and be like, wait, I got to ask this guy a question.
He said he thought about it. He's like, I wish I could have gone over to the guy and asked him, like, why did you stop right here?
I figure he would have at least gone to like give his witness or like report on what was going on too.
You would think. Well, he also was packing too. So I imagine he wanted to just.
Yeah.
The other thing too is.
He is literally just aiming his gun at a person. So.
Right. But here's the other thing too. Like, what would you have done? This dude is giant. He's going to kill somebody. We think. We do know we have our guns. I personally probably would have aimed to wound if I did have to do anything.
I would have made myself known.
But, the other thing, sorry. I should have added this. Is this big dude had his hands in his pockets. And the first thing he thought of was, what if he has a gun in there and he's aiming it at her?
He had his hands in the pockets the whole time.
Like his hoodie pockets.
Okay. That changes things a little bit. That's pretty sus.
He did mention that he didn't want to call himself out just in case this guy had a gun because he didn't see his hands. They were both in his pockets.
Yeah.
But that's a good point. So he did bring that up.
Safely from the sidelines.
Yeah.
He's in my sights, Mr. President.
So this guy could have been the real MVP here. Either way, police showed up.
And the giant would have been.
It's a real David and Goliath situation, dude. Anyways, that's his story, basically, of what is on the other end of that gut feeling that we hopefully never end up having to find out.
Dude, regrets.
Regrets, dude.
Regrets, always.
But I thought it was interesting. And as I was reading, I was like, yeah. I probably wouldn't want to just tell anybody this either, like incriminating evidence.
Yeah. We really just need some listeners to not listen to their gut so they can come back to us with an even better story.
Of what would have happened or what did happen because you didn't listen to your gut. But that's it for me tonight.
Okay. Hell yeah. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about my boy, Buddha. My boy Buddha. And this was during Buddha's path to enlightenment.
Okay.
And during Buddha's journey, this is a documented experience. Well, I think it's pretty well known in Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to talk to
maybe
somebody who practices Buddhism to learn more about this. But anyway, during his path to enlightenment, he was living a very austere lifestyle where he was trying to detach himself completely from things he did not need.
Minimalist.
Yeah, very like extreme minimalism, just living very simply, very plainly.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically was starving himself.
Okay.
I assume quickly my boy realized that that's not how you're gonna make it, my guy. You know, to
we hope so.
To enlightenment. So on his path, he encounters a woman. In their small talk, the woman finds that he hasn't eaten. So she serves him up some food, and Buddha thinks, and he's battling himself mentally to not accept for various reasons, mainly to try to continue his like living that principle of austerity. But he realizes if he doesn't eat, he's not going to reach enlightenment.
Okay.
That's basically it. So he accepts it. Woman offers him a bowl of
rice,
milk rice.
Oh, nice.
Don't know what that is.
Sounds good though.
No, it's horchata. my boy's an adventurous eater.
Let's go.
He's offered a bowl of milk rice.
Okay.
So actually, soon after this event happens, where he encounters this woman and she gives him the bowl of milk rice, he reaches enlightenment. I don't know exactly what that entails, but he credits that experience as accepting help from strangers, good people who are just wanting to help, and like that sustenance as like part of getting to enlightenment. From that point, he discarded the rest of his food. I guess you don't need food when you're enlightened, is what I was reading. But he kept the bowl. And that bowl has become a significant piece within Buddhism. And it's called the begging bowl. And you'll see a lot of Buddhist monks holding the begging bowl. And it just symbolizes like finding balance between extreme austerity and complete attachment to things.
Okay.
So.
Like the concept I like.
Yeah. So the bowl is used in a lot of different ceremonies for different purposes. I'm going to need you to put a bookmark on that.
Bookmark.
Yep. On begging bowls.
Begging bowls.
We're changing gears to, have you ever heard of sky burials?
Sky burials?
Yep.
No.
Sky burials, fascinating. I feel like I might have heard this once. Obviously not familiar. I had to look into it more, and it's crazy. Sky burials, I believe, originated in Tibet. And what it is when you die, it's a type of burial where they create a few incisions in your body, exposing some vital organs, and leave your body at the top of a mountain.
What the? Why do they do that?
So, one, the ground in Tibet and the surrounding areas apparently was too cold, too hard, too rocky to dig and to bury somebody.
Makes sense. Okay.
That's one. Two, a lot of Buddhists believe in the transmigration of spirits or
reincarnation,
rebirth.
Yeah.
When I started reading more about that, it sounded really beautiful because I have a quote here from the article I was reading. With sky burials, they believe there's no need to preserve the body as it is now an empty vessel.
And you've moved on.
You've moved on. Sky burials were partly giving alms to the birds, and also an ascent of the soul to be reincarnated into another circle of life.
Okay.
It is a crazy thought, though. You'd be hiking, and you just see dead bodies everywhere. The crazy thing is sky burials are still practiced today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And at least in older times, sky burials were a lot more common in that area, more than the alternative of cremation, because wood was also scarce. So most commoners back in the day in Tibet and the surrounding regions utilized sky burials as like the go-to main way of sending off their dead.
Okay.
And it was a very, like, seems to, like, in my studies of it, like, it seemed like a pretty honorable thing.
Yeah.
Especially when you think of reincarnation and that entire concept. So it's really beautiful. Now, going back to our bookmark with the begging bowls and Buddha, I mentioned that there are many types of begging bowls.
Okay, yeah.
And one of the main types is called a kapala. And the kapala is harvested. And when the main harvesting ground for kapala is at the sky burial sites.
Harvested in that.
So Buddhist monks will go to sky burial sites, find bodies that have been almost completely decomposed. And what remains are the bones, the skeletons. And what they would do is they would take the skull, and there's an entire ritual of cleaning and preparing it and then consecrating it to become a kapala. And they would sever the top of the cranium of the skull and either use the entirety of the skull or the top part of the cranium. They'd flip it upside down and it'd be a bowl.
Damn. Okay. Okay.
And that is a kapala. And the specific use for a kapala is to hold offerings for fierce deities. So
okay.
there's a couple more things that I have on the kapala to help put it into context. So in Tibetan monasteries, the kapala was used to hold dough cakes or wine used symbolically as flesh and blood offerings to wrathful deities of Hindu India and Buddhist Tibet. The dough cakes were not just pieces of bread, but were shaped to resemble human eyes, ears, and tongues. Different fierce deities required different substances within the kapala to appease them. And when you appease them, then in return, you would receive various things from safety. Basically, they're bullies is what it sounded like. They'll take your lunch money and then your reward is you don't get punched in the face. You know? There was a lot of similarities to like the Christian sacrament, and even like they used the word transubstantiation, which is common in Catholicism, with the bread and water turning into Jesus's like actual body and blood. So I think some Buddhists believe that transubstantiation also exists within putting some of these contents in the kapala. The bread will turn into flesh, wine will turn into blood, in which some people will drink and eat, or the deities themselves will eat and drink. Sometimes people will eat and drink it because it acts as like a potion or something to protect themselves against certain deities. It seems like a really complex system depending on which deity you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Depending on the purpose, the kapalas would contain other substances. They refer to as divine nectar, which usually is the wine or blood, vital nectar, which is semen, alcohol, ritual cakes, marrow, intestines, fat, brains, heart, and lungs of demonic enemies.
Oh, damn.
And there was no more information beyond that. I was like, bro, write more about the lungs of my demonic enemies.
Yeah.
But kapala, fascinating artifact that is used. And a lot of these kapalas are super ornate. You can see, we'll post pictures on the gram, but skulls that are like gilded with like different metals and like precious stones, just like super ornate. And passed down from generation to generation. There is a kapala that is that has its own, a specific one that has its own notoriety. It could make it in its own Indiana Jones movie.
What?
And it was brought to the U.S. in the 1950s.
Okay.
By a man who was an immigrant. He moved to Chicago. He's a Buddhist. A practicing Buddhist came with his family and they had a kapala in their home.
Okay.
And this specific kapala, and there's pictures of it online, and I'll tell you where it's from in a minute, but the pictures, it's not a human skull, but it's that of a monkey.
What?
So this man moves to the U.S. in the 50s with his family and brings his monkey skull kapala, and super ornate. Really beautiful, and it straight up looks like Indiana Jones. So this kapala, they have it in their home, and they feed it every meal. Every time they eat, they prepare a little more and put some, or maybe not prepare a little more, but they put some like wine and sometimes blood. I don't know where they get the blood from in the kapala, because this specific deity that they were dealing with, and I don't know how they were dealing with it, like if it latched onto their family,
right?
Or basically they were told that bad fortune would come upon them if they weren't feeding it via this monkey skull Kapala.
Yeah.
So every meal they would feed it and feed it. And Grandpa did that until he passed away. Before he passed away, he gave this Kapala to his grandson. Grandson inherits it, and grandson fails to follow the tradition
of feeding
this Kapala. Okay. Yeah, and appeasing the fierce deity that they have to deal with.
Okay.
I'm mad.
Yes. Like, you should be feeding
like it. Dishonor. Dishonor on your family.
Yeah.
My boys become Americanized. Steering from tradition. It doesn't go into explicit detail, which is kind of disappointing for the story. The only things that are said is that the house felt like there was a bad electricity running throughout. Not like electricity in the wiring, but like just like
bad energy.
Bad energy in the home. And, okay, I forgot the specific part. When the grandpa came to the U.S., the Kapala came with like a chest almost. And he would lock the Kapala in the chest when it wasn't being used and take it out for meals. And the chest also was like a very ornate, beautiful object. And it had different compartments. And in the lowest compartment, there was a flaying knife, F-L-A-Y.
Okay.
Flaying knife. And it was traditional. And you can see in a lot of traditional Buddhist, I guess, depictions or pieces of art, there's a lot of different like evil or fierce deities that have the Kapala and this flaying knife.
Interesting.
Like a ritualistic knife that was used to, I think, cut open animals. And it's like a weird, like, has a handle, and at the bottom of the handle, like, it didn't come up straight up like a regular knife. It came out on the bottom, and it was like a half moon with like a little hook at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, he had a flaying knife that was also like really beautiful and gilded. When grandson stopped the tradition, like, I don't know, forgot to feed this monkey skull, along with like the bad juju in the house, things were being stolen from that house. And one of the things that was stolen was that knife.
Oh, no.
It went missing. So after all of these things started happening to him, he donated it. And he donated it to the Traveling Museum of the Paranormal and the Occult, where it sits today and you can see it today. This same museum also is home to the Crone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's where that's from.
Yep. So the Crone sits in this museum, which is one of my favorite stories that I was able to like read up on and share with you guys. Insane. Just like a museum of like haunted artifacts.
Yeah.
Just kind of like Ed and Lorraine Warren.
You know,
with the doll and all of that. But that's the end of the Kapala. I wanted to find something cultural. I wanted to find us kind of like its origin story, and then find a modern day connection with a specific like scary story.
Yeah, no, I liked it.
Yeah.
That was a fun kind of connect the dots type scenario.
Yeah. I could have gone a little more into like those deities. And maybe I will one day, similar to how I've done like the Yurei and Yokai of Japan, or the Jin of Morocco. I could get into like Buddhist deities that have intent to do harm.
Yeah, because we definitely need to know who these like evil deities are that are coming and taking out of the Kapala.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to know. We need more info.
We need to stay guarded.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my story about the Buddhist begging bowl.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, bro. Short F this week. Thanks for thanks for supporting us. I know it's been a little off with Charles Gunn, but we're holding it down. He misses being here. I don't know how to share without like giving anything away. Or is that good enough?
That's good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're holding it down, doing our best, and excited for more to come. You have anything?
Just go and check out our YouTube, Twitch, subscribe on both of those. Like we were just saying how we be affiliated now with them. But there's more content there for you as well. Like yeah. You'll be able to actually watch us on YouTube and then on Twitch. You can interact while we're recording most of the time now.
Yeah.
So go and drop us a subscribe. Hit the notification buttons. I'm trying not to be like super like YouTuber-y on doing this, but I can't help it.
No, you're good. One thing I'm actually hyped for, and we've never talked about this with you, or I've never talked about it with you, but Sean didn't grow up with video games.
Yes, I did not.
Which is fine, but with Twitch, we want to play scary video games, and I want you to play, and I want all of us to play. I think that's going to be a riot. I'm thinking like Left 4 Dead. Are you familiar?
I recognize names.
Left 4 Dead is we're all surviving together in a zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
I'm thinking of, I don't know about Five Nights at Freddy's. That seems kind of goofy to me. But Phasmophobia.
Okay.
You're like a paranormal investigator. You're hired by people to explore their haunted homes.
That's kind of cool.
And while you're there, you have like your different equipment, like a EMF reader and your flashlight with limited battery. And you have to find out who the ghost is in that specific house.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, the more you learn about them, the more they like with you. And it's crazy because they have like a VR version too. So you're like in it and you're like running away from like you're learning more about this ghost and it's a whole storyline. It's very like detective work.
Okay.
It's crazy.
That actually does. That sounds fun. That like it could be fun, I guess. Like,
It could be. All these things you missed out on, man, in your childhood.
All the childhood I didn't have.
There's just a lot of cool things that we can do with Twitch. And it's not even just video games either. But yeah. The opportunities, the floodgates are open and we're trying to figure out what we want to partake of.
If you guys have any suggestions, send them to our DM us in our Instagram or they can reach out to us on Twitch.
Or YouTube or wherever. Like if you have suggestions for what you want to see or hear, hit us up. We're more than happy to go and look up that stuff.
Yes, sir.
Like if you want a good story, you probably go to DJ Charles, though. So.
Nah. We love you all. Thank you for your support. And with that, trust your gut, watch your back.
Be careful out there.
See you next time. Bye. Psych. You thought that was the end.
Oh, shoot.
I got a bonus story for y'all.
Let's go.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of 3AM. If you want to support us, visit our Patreon where patrons have access to exclusive content. If you're not able to support us monetarily, don't worry. This episode is on us. You can still rate and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on. It really does go a long way. You can also follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere, including Patreon, is the 3AM Pod. Finally, do you have any scary stories? If so, submit them to our website, the3ampodcast.com. We love any audio or visual aids that can help bring your stories to life, so file uploads are welcome with your written submissions. We're anxious and excited to hear from you.
From DNA testing to the Dixie Mafia, Crime Capsule brings you new stories of true crime in American history. I'm your host, Benjamin Morris. Join us for exclusive interviews with authors from Arcadia Publishing, writing the hottest books on the most chilling stories of our country's past. You can find us wherever you get your favorite podcasts or on evergreenpodcasts.com. Crime Capsule, history so interesting, it's criminal.
24 hours ago, I found out the person that I'd been dating and seeing for the last 6 months as a con man.
That is my sister, Emma. Andrew Tonks' lies had been so convincing, she'd invested $300,000 with him. However, the tables were about to turn on Andrew. What he didn't know was that Emma had discovered his real identity. But to get any chance of justice, Emma had to act like it was business as usual. Coming up in this series...
And that's when murder, all this stuff goes through my mind. I'm really, really scared.
I'm assuming Sarah has watched too much Netflix and figures I've been defrauding you. Couldn't be further from the truth.
That's what this was, a real-life story that seems so unbelievable, but it was actually true.
A true story that all starts with one simple swipe to the right. I'm Sarah Ferris.
And I'm Emma Ferris, and this is my story, Conning the Con.